But now traditional music on Radio 3. And actually it's the last time that it will be on a Friday afternoon, as from this coming Sunday, the 31st of March, traditional music will be on a Sunday evening at 11:15. Anyway, for this last Friday programme, here's Janet Topfargen, curator of the International Music Collection at the National Sound Archive, to introduce music from Africa, past and present.
Oh, wimbo ni wa mateso, kufatana na nini? Naimba wa kiimbani. Lakini ni wa mateso, sisi, watoka Mbeya. Ni wa mateso, kukopi ukini.
The British Library National Sound Archive is the largest sound archive in this country and one of the largest and most diverse in the world. It has commercial recordings from the 1890s to the present day, broadcasts including BBC material, and thousands of hours of unique unpublished recordings. The archive is divided into several subject areas, including Western art music, pop, jazz, drama and literature, wildlife sounds, and oral history. The International Music Collection is the archive's special collection of recordings from all around the world of music which is often popularly called ethnic or world music, but which is officially described as traditional. In this program, we'll focus on the collection's African field recordings. It first became possible to record music in the field when portable recording equipment was invented by Thomas Edison in 1877. Recordings with this technology were cut directly onto wax cylinders. And given how prone to breakage and melting these cylinders were, it's surprising any have survived. We think the machinery was first used in sub-Saharan Africa in about 1901 by Sir Harry Johnston, who was a British explorer, naturalist, author, and colonial administrator. His recording activities were fitted in to his work for the Foreign Office. All the documentation of this recording tells us is that it's a man singing in Uganda. A wax cylinder recording made by Sir Harry Johnston in Uganda in 1901. The wax cylinder was to remain the main recording format until the 1930s. Following this came direct-cut acetate discs. This wasn't all that different a process, except that grooves were cut into a flat disc of metal covered in a nitrate lacquer. The ethnomusicologist, Klaus Wachsmann, knew this system well. He spent 20 years in Uganda from 1937 onwards. One of his primary concerns was organology, the study of instruments, and in 1948 he decided to accept the position of curator of the Uganda Museum when he was told that his responsibilities would include travelling throughout Uganda to collect musical instruments. He took the opportunity of recording them as well. The recordings he made between 1949 and 1954 are particularly significant. They document the folk and court traditions of Uganda when the country was still a monarchy, before Idi Amin's dictatorship, and Klaus Wachsmann had the rare opportunity to get to know the musicians well. He'd been travelling around Uganda for 12 years before he got hold of his first recording equipment.
1948, the first equipment came out, and I began recording. And then, of course, in those days, the recording machine, it was described as portable. It was the so-called Admiralty set. And it is true, you needed a few sailors to carry it. Incidentally, the portable equipment, when I went on safari, weighed half a ton, which meant that you had to have the actual recording deck, the turntable, the mixing unit, amplifier, frequency generator, and four heavy-duty batteries to feed the frequency generator. And, of course, the discs, which were extremely heavy. So we went on safari like that.
Klaus Wachsmann talking in 1983 about his experiences of so-called portable recording equipment in Uganda in 1948. The equipment on which he recorded the Amadinda xylophone you just heard. Klaus Wachsmann went on to make over 1,500 recordings in Uganda. Until the last 10 years or so, ethnomusicologists focused on traditional, rural music, claiming that this is pure and that urban styles of music are hybrid and therefore not worthy of intellectual study. This isn't to say that early urban styles haven't been documented, but it's been done by commercial companies and by recordists rather than researchers. Now that ethnomusicologists have finally seen the importance of the music of towns and cities as a tool in understanding social trends, they should be thankful to the likes of, for example, Arthur Alberts, a writer from New York who was in West Africa as head of American war information activities in 1942 and 43. Alberts was a music enthusiast, and he vowed to return to the area after the war to survey and record the musical styles he'd found there. He recorded in Ghana, the Ivory Coast, Burkina Faso, Mali, Guinea, and Liberia. Here's what was described as a pagan dance. It was recorded in Burkina Faso and features five xylophones with two drums and a soloist singing in the Bambara language.
Abra mi bai, abra mi bai, abra mi bai.
A Bambara song with xylophone from Burkina Faso, followed by I Found My Love, a recording made by Arthur Elberts in Ghana in 1950, of an urban dance song, or high life, as these popular songs were known. Another collector, one who recorded a range of African music over an extended period from 1929, was Hugh Tracy. He was founder of the International Library of African Music, now led by his son, Andrew, in Grahamstown, South Africa. He recorded a great deal using apparatus similar to that described by Bachsmann, but in 1950 he was one of the first to use the new tape recorders. He travelled all over southern, east and central Africa, recording all types of music in remote rural areas as well as in emerging urban centres. Here's a group of Sotho children in Lesotho, recorded in 1959. They're playing a singing game, sitting on their knees in a circle, beating stones on the ground. A recording made in 1959 by collector Hugh Tracy of a Sotho children's singing game in Lesotho. Tracy also recorded urban styles of music, and in the 1950s the guitar had become the hallmark of town music. Tracy's recordings of the Zairean guitarist Mwende Jean Bosco are some of the best of this style.
Mama na mwana tumbana tujali bisutele. Na mwana tumbana tujali bisutele. Mama na mwana tumbana tujali bisutele. Mama na mwana peshanga ipata mina kwenda. Na mwana peshanga ipata mina kwenda. Mama, yo mama, 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 yo mama, mama. Na mwana kuya leo twende bayeke. Na mwana kuya leo twende bayeke. Mama, 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 mama. Ayo. Mama na mwana tumbana tujali bisutele. Na mwana tumbana tujali bisutele. Mama na mwana tumbana tujali bisutele. Tunaimba mulingana wa jione sasa wa jinga huko. Namana mwana peshanga ipata mina kwenda. Namana peshanga ipata mina kwenda. Mamana mwana peshanga ipata mina kwenda. Mamana mwana tumbana tujali bisu tele. Namana tumbana tujali bisu mama, mama, yo mama, yo mama, yo mama, yo. Namana mwana tumbana tujali bisu tele. Namana tumbana tujali bisu tele. Mama na mwana tumbana tujali bisu tele.
Mama na mwana, mother and child, a 1950s guitar song by Zairean Mwenda Jean Bosco, recorded by Hugh Tracy. From the late 1950s and early 60s, it was becoming clear that we can't understand music without understanding the society in which it exists. Before we can say anything about music worldwide on a general level, we need the facts about all the different types of music that exist. Ethnomusicologists began to focus their work on single cultures. Many of the collections from the 60s onward are of specific music styles or peoples. Louis Sano among the Akka Pygmies in the Central African Republic, or John Brearley among San Bushmen in Botswana, or Giles Swain among the Jola people in southern Senegal. At the National Sound Archive, we also have a collection of recordings made by Veit Erlman, who's worked for many years on isiXhosa in South Africa. IsiXhosa is an a cappella vocal style of Zulu working class migrants. It was popularized internationally by the group Ladysmith Black Mambazo, but it is performed by hundreds of choirs at all-night competitions in hostel areas of the townships. Some of Erlman's recordings made during these competitions have been published on the Heritage label. Here's one by the choir Cup and Saucer. It's a piece called Uhlekani Emzini, Why Are You Laughing in Your House? It was recorded at Gleebland Hostel in Durban in 1985. Uhlekani Emzini, Why Are You Laughing in Your House? With the Cup and Saucer Choir, recorded in Durban in 1985 by Veit Erlman. Recently, the National Sound Archive acquired a recording made in 1991 by Dennis Furnell on Tasso Island on the Sierra Leone River. It's a small island, smaller than Hyde Park, and supports a single family clan of 90 people, who are fishermen and subsistence farmers. Or rather, it did support them. Dennis Furnell believes that these inhabitants may have since been evacuated due to the current political upheavals in the country. The music is called Bubu, and features a group of about 12 musicians on makeshift instruments such as exhaust pipes, box drums, and plywood boards. Even from this short extract, it's clear where jazz came from. Music recorded 5 years ago on Tasso Island, Sierra Leone, by Dennis Furnell, a BBC broadcaster who happened to be in the area recording wildlife sounds when he came across this extraordinary music. Traditions all over Africa are changing these days, not only as a result of war and revolution, but also because of increasingly westernized influences. Recordings are unique documents of this process. Gabriel Prokofiev, a student at Birmingham University, recently went to Tanzania to record musicians in a remote village called Kahe, situated on the plains south of Mount Kilimanjaro. The people who live there, the Wakahe, claim that it's only old people who still know the songs. The youngsters are more interested in a so-called developed or Western lifestyle. So this recording of Wakahe songs might be the last. Recording made by Gabriel Prokofiev in 1995 of Wakahe musicians in Tanzania. During his stay in Tanzania, Gabriel also came across a prime example of how tradition adapts to changes in the social environment. A four-piece acoustic pop group, calling themselves the Babaton Bendi, were playing on homemade instruments modeled on guitars and the traditional string bass, or babaton. Their songs use primary Western harmonies and topical themes with titles like Nelson Mandela, or this one called Tunaogopa Ukimwi, We Are Afraid of AIDS.
Music from Africa, past and present. The program was presented by Janet Topfagen, and technical presentation was by Lyndon Jones. The producer was John Thornley. And if you'd like to know more about the National Sound Archive's recordings of traditional music of Africa, or indeed from anywhere else in the world, the curator, Janet Topfagen, and her colleagues will be pleased to hear from you. You can contact them at the International Music Collection, the British Library National Sound Archive, 29 Exhibition Road, London, SW7, 2AS. I'll just repeat that for you. The International Music Collection, the British Library National Sound Archive, 29 Exhibition Road, London, SW7, 2AS. Or there's a telephone number you can ring, 0171 412 7427, 0171 412 7427. As I said at the start of the programme, as part of Radio 3's new schedule, the traditional music programmes will be moving to a new day and a new time. The next one will be on Sunday. That's this coming Sunday at 11:15 in the evening. So I hope you'll be able to listen then to music from North Korea, The Bronze Horse and the Bellflowers, presented by Keith Howard, the first of two programmes of folk music from Korea. So that's our traditional music series, continuing on Sunday evening at 11:15.